Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, Dan, let me just take a moment to thank a listener who must have thought of me immediately when he saw this story. Drexel professor's strip club habit sticks Drexel with a $190,000 bill. You know, that's fodder for the Dom Giordano program. He earmarked it for us. Out of every talk show host out there, send it over to Dan. Thank you very much. I'm supposed to speak at Drexel in October. Let me put this aside in the special file to make sure
we
want to
keep
this.
It hush-hush or else you'll get kicked out. Off campus.
That's fine if they want to do that.
They'll Ann Coulter you.
That's even better, but I'm not going. Once I show up at a place, I just continue to talk. That's the rule. Welcome in, everyone.
Doesn't surprise me.
Good Tuesday. Yeah, that's one of my rules. You know what? The out question today, we had some fun last week. You know, at the end of your call, be thinking about this, because this takes a little bit of thought, Dan. After I give the big list, we're going to do it at 9:30 today, I put together 10 immutable laws of Dom time. Commandments, laws, like thou shall and thou shalt not. And we just asked, have some fun, give us one of yours. Kind of rules for life. That's a big one, though. Once you show up, if you're invited and you're supposed to talk, you just keep talking until you're done talking. I don't care what else they do. That's why I would fire today, potentially, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security. He was at Georgetown Law. People were shouting and all, and he gave up talking. You don't need a guy like that there. Get a bigger megaphone. Get a bullhorn and talk over top of them. All right, there is so much to talk about out there today, though. Let me start, though. I don't think I have sound to this. I don't see it. We got so many cuts today. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So I think I'll start with this.
Who do you think I am, Dom? Come on.
All right, this will be cut 12 here in a moment. Now, a little bit of backdrop. I fancy myself an armchair analyst of basketball, more than any sport. More than politics, more than anything. I know it upside and down. There's just no doubt about that. All right? Dan, you have some doubt. Well, I have to prove it to you. Anyhow, Steve Kerr, who I used to admire, relatively small guy, playing in the NBA, devastating three-point shooter, Michael Jordan, then with San Antonio, right? This guy, though, is one of the chief virtue signalers in the NBA. This guy loves to savage President Trump's tweets, talk about illegal immigration. Oh, here's a little bit of the stylings of Mr. Three-Point Shot, the head of the Golden State Warriors. Here's a little bit of Steve Kerr, just to give you Exhibit A in my evidence before I tell you what he's saying about China. China. Every time Trump says China.
I think
China.
What you're seeing is I think the athletes are showing patriotism through their community service. The president is turning all this stuff into a political game and a ratings game, and it's a blatant display of nationalism. What patriotism is helping your fellow citizen, and whether it's what KD's doing or what we did when we visited Washington, what the Lynx are doing today, and that's what patriotism is about. I'm blown away by the irony of the Eagles being disinvited. when you read about their good deeds in their communities, Malcolm Jenkins addressing lawmakers, really trying to get to the root of some of the issues we have, and instead we just have these military sing-alongs at the White House.
All right, together. Dan, that is brilliant. Take the rest of the day off. Tag Joe in there. He's not doing anything in the producer's lounge. Come on. All right, so you notice how many things he shot. Nice touch, too. Let's save that one. The Philadelphia Eagles. And Malcolm Jenkins is saying it, Malcolm Jenkins. This is Steve Kerr. He's going to another sport, stuff he knows nothing about. So listen to Kerr yesterday. I love this opening line, too, about the China story. Now, you should know that the NBA bludgeoned or attempted to bludgeon North Carolina into having transgendered bathrooms, that it was an outrage. They couldn't possibly play their all-star game there. You think China is going to be bludgeoned into submission? You think Adam Silver is negotiating transgendered bathrooms with the Chinese, or basically telling them to go to hell because a GM for the Houston Rockets stood in his hind legs and said, stand with Hong Kong. There's an owner of the Brooklyn Nets who is Chinese-American, billionaire, I believe, and supportive of the Chinese government and trying to make excuses for it today. Yet these are the people. This is the league. Everybody as much as Kaepernick in their own way. This is the league that has been going after Trump. They're so much better. They're athletes. So here's Steve Kerr, who knows so much about illegal immigration, Malcolm Jenkins, gun control, and a myriad of things, but the country with the world's biggest population, the country that people have, when he was a kid, didn't they say, hey, I'm digging my way to China on the beach? He doesn't know too much about China.
Steve, obviously the big story in the league right now is, you know, Daryl Morey's tweet and everything going on with China. Do you have any thoughts on that situation?
Actually, I don't. I mean, It's a really bizarre international story.
Huh?
A lot of us don't know what to make of it. So it's something I'm reading about, and just like everybody is, but I'm not going to comment further than that.
How challenging is that for you at this point? I mean, I'm sure there's you may want to comment on something.
No, I mean, actually, what I've found is that it's easy to speak on issues that I'm passionate about and that I feel like I'm well versed on. And,
yes.
And I've found that it makes the most sense to stick to topics that are that fall in that category. So I try to keep my comments to those things. But so it's not. It's not difficult. It's more, I'm just trying to learn. You know, my brother-in-law is actually a Chinese history professor, and I emailed him today to tell me what I should be learning about all this and what's happening. So I'm trying to learn just like everybody else is.
You can get wound up and say, hey, buddy, you're caught, okay? They ought to ask every one of these guys up and down the line. The Sixers guy, the Sixers part owner, the Meek Mill guy, I'd love to know what he thinks about human rights here, since his helicopter is always available to Meek Mill. All right, 855-839-1210. It is amazing what's happening here. This is a good thing, though. I don't know what President Trump will tweet out on this, but these are the guys always wanting to have it both ways, attacking Trump, the Black Lives Matter crowd in the NBA, the pro-illegal immigration, the group that speaks on things they have no knowledge of, they're eager to do that. But when it comes to China, Steve Kerr says, it's a kind of a bizarre international story, isn't it? What's bizarre about it? I mean to say Steve Kerr has no sense of what the Chinese are up to. He has no sense of what's going on in Hong Kong, for example, whether he knows the minutiae of it or not, right? Here's one where Steve Kerr directly trashes President Trump, even more so after the Malcolm Jenkins cut. Here's what he said about Trump.
I mean, I've had the pleasure to meet with Reagan, George Bush, Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama. I didn't necessarily agree with all of them, but it was an incredible honor to be in their presence. There was a respect for the office, and also a respect, not only from us, but from the president himself. And that goes both ways. And I think we would, in normal times, very easily be able to set aside political differences and go visit and have a great time and be awesome. But these are not ordinary times. Probably the most divisive times in my life. I guess since Vietnam, but I was just a kid. I don't remember too much about Vietnam.
All right. Nice plucking that, Dan. We'll keep those racked up here, okay? That's what these guys are about. Yeah, I got to say, too, it's difficult. I get past it. I love basketball. But at times, these guys make it hard to want to go to an NBA game, to watch basketball. This is the dilemma we all face, where you feel like you're contributing to the problem by the money that's going there. All right, so that's one thing. I want to go with another local issue, too, before we get to the big stuff on impeachment today. 855-839-1210. Well, let's... 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless push pound 1210. And this idea that basketball somehow or another will bring us together with the Chinese communists has always been flawed. It is flawed. All right? It's not the people of China, by and large, as far as I can tell. That's not what it's about. It's about the infrastructure of the party, of Mao, of the type of stuff that's going on now for 70th anniversary the other day. You're not going to reach these people with basketball. You have to beat them. This is a cold war with China. President Trump is the first president, Steve Kerr, buddy, that has taken him on for American workers, for the people that pay their hard-earned money to come and see a bunch of athletes, some of whom are patronizing at best, play basketball. All right? You don't know that because you don't want to know it. All right, local issue, though. And we're going to try to get her on the show. It's amazing to me. Philadelphia is poised to get another notch on their woke belt. You know, it ought to be, Dan, we should set this up. You know how in karate, they have a black belt. That is the highest, right? I don't think there's any division of the black belt. You either have a black belt or you don't, right? That's the highest as far as we know. How about we design the woke belt? And what kind of notches does Philadelphia have in their woke belt? Well, they're the first, really, to push forward with the safe injection site. And now here's another one. Philadelphia City Council looks like there's going to be a big push, and they're going to engage in it. I think it's going to pass to remove library fines. In other words, you go to the public library in Philadelphia, they're always complaining about resources. You just keep a book out for however long you want. You will not have to pay any fine. Councilwoman Sherelle Parker is the leader of this. She really has a black belt in wokeism. The idea is that people can't afford that. And you are somehow or another making life worse for them if they take said books out, like 50 Shades of Wokeism or something, or the biography of Jim Kenney, and they don't return it during the two-week period of time or whatever it is, or renew it. I think you can renew it by email, too. In other words, you can do this electronically. You don't have to just schlep back to the library and do it. And she's saying this is a regressive tax. Now, Sherelle Parker is fine, though, with the soda tax. That's okay. But when it comes to library materials, no fine. Now, the only other city that's done this that we know of is Chicago. So Philadelphia's got some catching up to do. I would tell you this. Philadelphia, I think, leads the country in being a progressive utopia. They have the black belt. This is just another step along the way. How many other things can they pile up? Just last week was the law went into effect. I think it was October 1st, that you can't have a store that's cashless, right? Why? Well, they just another thing they don't like. So let's pass a law. Now let's get rid of library fines. Now, you know, deep down, even they, don't you think they'll meet some resistance on this? So I'd love to get you on board. Is the day of the library fine? And I wonder, what's the longest you've ever had a book out that you forgot? How long was it? What's the maximum you could pay for a library fine? By the way, one holdover, one leftover from yesterday. We were asking for great villains. You know, and I didn't want the most serious villain in the world. A guy tweeted this too late for the show, Dan. This might have won. Corn Pop. Corn Pop for Joe Biden. Now, that's exactly the type of villain you want. Maybe we'll get to this later in the show. Maybe that principal, if he's still alive, he ought to be taken to the bar of justice because he would have denied Elizabeth Warren
the
right to remain as a special ed teacher. Just imagine if that guy hadn't said, if you're visibly pregnant, you're out, which he apparently did not say.
Yeah, which he didn't say.
Which he didn't say. She would not have become a lawyer, and we wouldn't have America's school marm lecturing us.
Told a very different story a couple years ago, that's for sure.
Exactly. So I went through, they've been showing, Dan, a lot of clips of her in various stump speeches, and then the one in 2007. And in every one of them, she's got that black sort of
it's like a cartoon character.
Yeah, like a cartoon. It's like a superhero. And she just changes a sweater that she throws over it each day. She's got a whole closet of sweaters. But that black outfit, how many does she have? This is the basic stuff that you're going to see. It's stunning to me.
I'd love to see her closet. It's just a bunch of
black outfits that you just steps into. It is like she just needs a mask. Then there's the hairstyle. By the way, Democrats are going to disguise the whistleblower. I'll be asking you to help me flesh that out, what voices we like Boris Badenoff. Remember Rocky and Bullwinkle is a classic. And how should they disguise the whistleblower? They're actually talking about the whistleblower being in disguise with like a partition, and then they distort his voice as he gives testimony. I can see Jim Jordan or one of those guys running and knocking over the partition or something.
They should do it like the dating game with all congresspeople on one side of the wall and the whistleblower.
I have that written down here as one of my jokes. Yeah, there you go. That's, yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It should be. So tell me, whistleblower number three, what would you like to do after the inquiry today?
Would you like to go to the movies?
There you go. Would you like to see Joker? What movie would you like to see? All right, let's go to Jeff in Center City. Jeff, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Jeff.
Dom, how you doing? Love your show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Just calling in because I was listening to a snippet as soon as I turned on the car. I heard you talking about progressive Philly and then their rules and all the, you know, all the new progressive tactics. And as soon as I even hear the word, my blood starts boiling. You know, I come from a family of Jewish and Russian immigrants. You know, my parents came here in the 90s. I was born here, but first generation. And, you know, it's so upsetting to see how people, you know, basically allow things around them to fall in on themselves and never really want to look to the top. I mean, you have an administration in this city that's so pathetic and so sad. You know, it's sad to see. You know, I talk to cops all the time, and it's almost unbelievable to see that, you know, these police officers, they don't even have, like, somebody that they can, like, you know, other than, you know, the FOP leaders, that they can, like, turn to and, you know, say, this is how we improve. This is how we do it. They're like a prisoner in their own system.
Oh, that's right. That's what we're living under, Jeff.
And it's even more pathetic from the side of, you know, even just crime and safety aside, just, you know, these liberals, you know, it's almost like they've never even taken an economics course or read a book. It's like, you know, by let's tax this and let's tax this. Oh, you want to breathe some fresh air? We're going to throw a tax on that. And then they wonder why, you know, 50,000 people a year are leaving Philadelphia.
Well, that's, you know, right. What's your rule, Jeff? What's that rule of life for you?
So I'm in the real estate business, and I work for an owner and an apartment manager. We have our own office buildings and apartment buildings. And, you know, on the office side, you know, you've never seen vacancy this high in your life. I mean, there's buildings in Center City where 200,000 mm-hmm. square feet are being vacated because, A, these businesses, you know, they can't even, you know, how can you operate here? You got this tax, and, you know, they're going to go to a more tax-friendly city, which you're going to generate jobs, you're going to generate income, but then they don't get it. And, you know, on the side note, you know, who wants to step over 15 heroin addicts that just walked out of the safety injection?
I got you, Jeff. This is the dilemma in Philadelphia. But you know where the mayor is? He's in Copenhagen, Denmark, because he has no mayor's race. Nobody's holding his feet to the fire. Everybody, it's a fait accompli. He's laughing at it. The arrogance is amazing here. That's what you face. All right, so if you're just joining us, we're talking about, though, now, is there not a pillar to society? I went back And I took a look at this debate that went on in Great Britain when they were thinking about doing this. And the head librarian said there's two reasons why we do this that are common sense, that we get this councilwoman on. One, how about the other poor people that want to get the book too? You got to bring the book back. I mean, socialism can't even be socialistic in Philadelphia. They're beyond socialism. So they're saying if you take the book out, well, then that's it. You don't have to share it with your other comrades here, apparently, by a fine bringing it back in. And two, the head librarian in Great Britain said libraries are trying to enforce in their own way some kind of sense, a lesson of appropriate conduct. And that means you bring the book back. They can't even and won't do that in Philadelphia. It's almost hard to believe, but my theory. This stuff, this progressivism, is incremental. In other words, it's moving that way, and it will continue to move that way. There's no stopping point. 5 years from now, it won't be a safe injection site if they get that. By the way, I got an update on that that you'll want to hear in the 10 o'clock hour. And this is where you're going to come in if you're out in the suburbs. You've got to be listening right at 10. I'll tell you what I found out about that involves you and politicians in the suburbs and what I'd like you to do to hold their feet to the fire. It's coming up. I don't have the guy on yet, but I'll tell you about it. So libraries, it's a smart thing. If you get rid of this, what is it you would not get rid of? Yesterday, Larry Krasner, that pretty famous case of that real estate developer stabbed by the courier in downtown Philadelphia a little while ago, he lessens it from third-degree murder to a much lesser crime. Just going in, he goes in and makes the case to lessen it. That's what we have going on. You have mob rule going on here. And to the caller's point, Jeff, about all these people moving and all, here's what Philadelphia is betting on. And I'm a realist. I'm not just going to say crazy stuff. They're betting there's so much good here in Philadelphia, location, history, all those things, that Philadelphia will not crater. Now, it will always be mediocre. It's never going to rise because of the ideology. But it's not like Detroit. It's not a one-horse or car town. So as a result, it's maybe too big to fail completely. That's what they're betting on. Deep down, that's what they're going to do. And if that doesn't work, they don't care. They're driven by this stuff. All right, let me take one more. Let's go to Ward in Mercer County. Ward, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Good morning.
Good morning, Dom. I just wanted to say that when it comes to the NBA essentially sympathizing with the Communist Party, I would like to remind everybody that when they're signing their kids up for winter sports, wrestlers do not sympathize with communists.
Well, we know that. Vince McMahon's not doing that. There's no commies in the WWE. That's right.
Exactly. I'm a wrestling coach in New Jersey, and one of the greatest things to see is when our guys go international, they're beating the snot out of guys from Cuba. They're beating the snot out of guys from, you know, every post-Soviet country there is. Whereas, you know, if you're signing your kid up for basketball, you're signing your kid up to sympathize with the communist Chinese. So,
thank you very much for making that appeal. And it's about a time, October 15th, usually when tryouts. I didn't make the team at Newman, Dan. It was probably a commie conspiracy. No, really. How would they keep me off?
Couldn't imagine you wrestling.
Well, the thing not wrestling. Basketball.
Oh, okay.
I didn't make it the first time. One of the objections is I wore knee pads. Back in the day, you wore knee pads. It was a signal.
Oh, you're such a dweeb.
No, you were going to dive. I'm a big believer in that. That's a device. Oh, your flexibility. You know what? When I dive and get that loose ball and you don't, knee pads work.
Oh, man.
Definitely.
So, wait, you lost out on your spot because of the knee pads? They wouldn't let you play
with
them?
That was one of the issues. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You were just made fun of for showing up in knee pads.
No, that's not true at all.
Might be dorkier than wearing bubble wrap.
You can look it up.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.